This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
Inside the Goldman Crystal Ball.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Citigroup keeps making appearances in the crystal ball over at Goldman Sachs. This time, an analyst says he sees second quarter write-downs of $9 billion for Citi. Goldman's also putting the bank on its America's Conviction Sell list. That means Goldman feels pretty strongly Citigroup's stock is going to be lagging big time. Goldman's forecast also includes more write-downs for Merrill Lynch. Anheuser-Busch is reportedly getting ready to throw back the $46 billion takeover bid from its Belgian rival InBev. The St. Louis-based company is expected to propose its own restructuring plan as early as next week. Stephen Beard reports.
Anheuser-Busch is said to be planning the sale of its theme parks as a way of warding off the bid from InBev. That could raise $3 billion. The sale of its packaging business could raise a further $1.5 billion. Some of that money might then be paid out to its shareholders as a special dividend. But drinks industry analyst Chris Brooke-Carter says the Anheuser board will have to do much better than that.
And what they're really going to have to do, and I think they're going to find it difficult, is demonstrate that they can offer a better long-term solution to shareholder value than InBev's currently offering.
InBev says its offer values Anheuser-Busch at a 35% premium to what it was worth before rumours of the bid first surfaced. Many analysts expect that InBev will raise its bid from $65 to $70 a share, and that may clinch the deal. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
As expected, the Fed opted to stay put on interest rates. This morning, investors will look for numbers coming out on jobless claims, revised first quarter growth, and housing. The Dow picked up 4 points yesterday to 11,811. The S&P 500 was up 7 to 1321. The NASDAQ lit up with a gain of nearly 33 points to 2401. Asian markets closed lower today. European shares are edging down. The AFL-CIO is the biggest union federation in the country, and it's expected today to throw its weight behind Senator Barack Obama. Union support doesn't mean what it used to, but Democrats hope it'll be enough to influence middle-class voters in key states. Jill Barchet has more.
Just 12% of the U.S. workforce is unionized. In the private sector, not even 1 in 13 workers is a union member. So what's the endorsement of the AFL-CIO worth? Money, for one thing. An endorsement can bring in millions of campaign dollars from electrical workers and engineers, for example. Michael Lux is president of Progressive Strategies, a political consulting firm. He says union support can tip the scale.
The elections are decided by very, very small margins. So any organization that can deliver 1% of the vote or can influence 1 or 2% of the vote is a very big deal.
The AFL-CIO says it plans to focus on influencing its own members, their families, and union retirees in five battleground states: Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
Fidelity Investments says the time is now to take a closer look at your retirement plan. A new study out today shows a 65-year-old couple will need about $85,000 to cover insurance costs for long-term care after retirement. That'll just cover the annual premiums.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thrivent.com/retirement. And by gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at gather.com.
Hilton announced yesterday it'll build 300 hotels in Asia over the next decade, mostly in India and China. Right now, there are 100 star-rated hotels under construction in Beijing. That'll bring the city's total to 800 by the time the Olympic torch arrives. But there's one problem: finding enough qualified employees to staff these fancy hotels before the games begin. Lisa Chow reports from Beijing.
If you're Chinese and staying at a hotel, you probably don't expect much. That's because China still breaks some important rules when it comes to customer service. First, most people in the service industry don't really smile, and they usually don't see it as their job to solve customers' problems. Franco Io is general manager of the brand new JW Marriott in Beijing. He has this message for employees. Good manners are a good substitute for inexperience.
Policy, procedure, all the technical skills, they will come over time. We go in, first day. Hi, welcome, Ms. Chow. Welcome to the JW Marriott. And I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm smiling.
At an orientation, Io asks more than 60 new hotel staff to practice smiling at each other. They complied, awkwardly.
Do you feel bad when you smile?
Dai Bing is an expert in tourism. He says Chinese people aren't used to showing affection.
When I was growing up, my parents, especially my dad, never hugged me. He never laughed with me, but I knew he loved me. I think this is a cultural difference between Chinese and Westerners.
He also points out that in China, there's no real financial incentive to be nice. People in the service industry don't get tipped, and they average less than $2,600 a year. But Franco Io says, if you work hard, you can move up.
So I went from a doorman, got promoted, and become a bellman. From there, I became a night auditor, a front desk clerk.
Long story short, several promotions, and 15 years later, Io became general manager. But his biggest challenge lies ahead, getting his staff of 1,000 young and inexperienced hotel employees ready for the Olympics. In Beijing, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
To listen to more from The Morning Report, go to marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.